Evening.
Hi. How are you this evening?
Still got plenty of money down there?
Hope so. For the record, I'm Fred Hansen, Deputy Treasurer. Gary Delaney, our Administrative Manager, is here, and he was going to be speaking specifically toward 2805.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. House Bill 2805 provides that certain local governments may use the facilities of the state's fiscal agent for the destruction of bonds and coupons. The bill provides the means of achieving some administrative efficiencies that are currently available to the state of Oregon, but not to units of local government. Currently, all bonds and coupons that have been paid must be physically returned to the local government unit by the fiscal agent and then stored by that local government unit. For state bonds and coupons, the situation is different. The fiscal agent, under authority granted a few years ago, retains state of Oregon items for 1 year and then destroys them and provides detailed lists and certification to the state of that destruction. In doing that, we, of course, do not need to provide for further physical handling and storage of those documents, which for the state of Oregon currently are something over 2 million items a year, I think being redeemed little tiny coupons. We're simply trying to make that same facility available to local government units that are using the fiscal agency. Eugene Water and Electric is probably the largest issuer outside of the state that is currently using the state's fiscal agent. I know they certainly very interested in this bill, would probably make use of it. There are a few other local government units using the fiscal agent and other paying agents which have also been included here. But it's we look on it as a matter that's an option for those local governments to use. If they choose to have the items that continue to come back to them, they may. If they would rather make use of this destruction facility, it's it's a quite common thing now as far as the handling of municipal debt is concerned on the redeeming end, and we would urge your adoption of the bill. Glad to answer any questions.
Questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Senator Powell.
Well, what's this? This is just making this the access to a shredder available to local government? I guess I'm not totally with you. Is that what it is?
Well, it's access to
storage
shredder at the fiscal agent. That is, the state's current fiscal agent is Chemical Bank in New York. So if somebody is using Chemical Bank to pay their items, they are paying them, storing them for a while, and then sending them back by mail or whatever means they have to get them back to the unit of local government, who in turn generally stores them for another year, maybe a couple of years, and then, depending on their own statutes and requirements, would eventually destroy those items or run them through their own shredder.
Okay.
This simply short-circuits that process and leaves them back at the fiscal agent, allows them to destroy the items 1 year after payment, and, of course, is conditioned on proper accounting for those items back to the local government unit.
This bill, now, what requires the proper accounting, the 288-120, that requires
yes.
that?
Yes.
And that would apply to any subdivision of the state that was using this service?
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Powell, the lines 5 and 6 of the amendment is just saying that they may be destroyed in accordance with ORS 288-120, which is setting up the exact same procedure.
Sure.
Well, the only other thing is that the option of the treasurer or other fiscal officer, what is that? Who is the other fiscal officer? Is that of the local government?
Yes, of a local government unit. The treasurer is a local treasurer, or if he's not designated the treasurer, whoever the responsible fiscal officer is. It's not the state treasurer in that case.
Okay. That's all.
Okay. Senator Gardner.
Is this Bill Chemical Bank's idea?
No, we had initial discussions about it with Eugene Water and Electric.
They didn't want all the coupons coming back?
No. That's right. Although Chemical Bank would certainly
prefer not to mail them back.
That's right. they would be in favor of this.
What kind of records do they keep?
It would be cheaper to send them back.
They have a computerized system we have samples of them in our office, but.
Is there some permanent record made of the payment that can show the receipts that the coupons?
That's correct. You get a standard bank statement and then detail records behind that, detailing items by bond number, by coupon number, and all the detail that you want.
Is that a permanent record?
That's right.
Don't they microfilm the coupons?
Not the coupons are not microfilm. No.
They go through the bank. I'll bet they are.
Oh, I'll bet they are in the transaction. They're a regular general transaction, aren't they?
Well, no, they're because of the size. I think the technology has just not gotten to that point. It's a very manual intensive effort. It has recently been computerized in the past several years.
But they punch each coupon number in as it comes in, though.
That's right.
So you can track whose coupon it was.
Yeah. But it isn't like checks being read through a micro reader where they're able to microfilm them in the same process.
It takes 3 months cutting those off if you're using one of those cigar clipper scissors.
I was just saying, I sure like to have this service about a year and a half ago from our encounter. We had some letters that come in and we'd love to have burned up. We'd like to have done away with those, but too bad we missed the service.
Straightforward bill, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, are we ready to go on this? Or you know?
Yeah, if there's no further discussion, if there isn't any objection to it, then
move it,
it looks like it's a...
You want it engrossed?
that goes without saying.
It's been moved and we sent House Bill 2805 to the floor of the Senate for the passed recommendation. No further discussion, then would you call the roll, please?
Senator Day?
Aye.
Senator Gardner?
Aye.
Senator Meeker?
Aye. Motion is carried.
Just a vote, Senator.
Thank you very much.
Whoa, I get a vote.
Oh, excuse me. I thought that you went through. I'm sorry.
I voted for Powell.
Senator Powell.
I voted. Did I vote for Meeker? Oh, I did.
Senator Pfeffer.
Okay, aye. Well, we'll take a recount.
He's in a hurry.
Now.
We got 5-0.
Okay.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. I thought that you had gone through and I just wasn't listening close enough again. We have 38. We are now in the business of handling the election bills.
Oh, good.
Between this and we have some of them here and we have some of them in operation.
Good God. This is one of these handy-dandy and gross jobs.
Yeah, from the House.
I can't believe it.
And Greg, would you like to come forward and tell us about this bill?
You did some amending over there, didn't you? Greg McMurdo from the Secretary of State's office. For some reason, again, the House did not engross our bill.
They don't engross any of the bills.
Well, that's not all. However, the amendments dated May 26th are in effect an engrossed bill because, frankly, we disemboweled a tabled bill and inserted this. So if you do read the amendments and the summary, you do have what would be the engrossed version. House Bill 3038 does two basic things. It corrects a process or an error that is occurring relating to people signing initiative, referendum, recall, minor political party formation minutes, as they're technically called, and nominating petitions. In 1979, the legislature, for the first time, really codified the constitutional provisions relating to, in effect, who could sign a petition by defining when registration occurred. And that's found in ORS 247.012. And logically states registration occurs when the county clerk gets the card, which, of course, had always been the law. The problem that arose, and I'm going to use one specific example that brought it to my attention, was the attempted recall of the Klamath County District Attorney, Mr. Stapleton. And it was brought to our attention that people were signing the recall petition and who were not registered at the time they signed it, and then later signing a voter registration card, returning it to the canvasser, who may or may not then take it back to the county and actually register the person. fortunately or unfortunately, they did not gain enough signatures, and so we did not certify the results and call an election. Had we done so, Mr. Stapleton most certainly would have sued us, and we would have lost. The thing would have been thrown out of court. What the bill does is require that the person be registered, and when signing such a petition, that he not only sign his name, but also the date upon which he signed it. If a filing officer, whether it's the Secretary of State who would use a county clerk, or the filing officer would be a city officer who would again use a county clerk for verification, finds that the date on the petition is different from that on file with the Elections Division, meaning he was not registered when he signed it, the county clerk, or the filing officer, I should say, would not verify the signature. Or if it were undated, it would not be verified. To me, this is an extension of existing law. We're most certainly going to be in litigation if this bill is not approved. There is a second part to the bill, which was tacked on as a result of Subcommittee 1's attention to our budget. And that subcommittee repealed the requirement that the Secretary of State, and oddly enough, the county clerks who haven't done so anyway, publish a summary report of contributions and expenditures.
It's not like we're supposed to do that. Are the county clerks supposed to do that too?
Right.
If it's a county ballot measure, county.
Is that right?
Yeah, they don't do it, but they have to.
Anyway, the net savings to the Secretary of State anticipated for the next biennium is roughly $25,500. We produce somewhere around 1,500 of these for the primary and the general, making their cost $12 plus. Quite, to be more accurate, I think it would be much more than that. That does not include time of permanent staff that we have that has to put it together. In 1977, we did go from an actual printed format to camera-ready computer copy, but it's still an expensive document. Everything in here, in fact, more, is available and is a public record in the Secretary of State's office or when we run out of filing space in the state archives. And we're under the retention schedule set by the Secretary of State. They're retained for 6 years. The only other changes in the bill are a minor change on...
Mr. Chairman, can I ask a question on that point?
You sure can.
What, is a permanent, at least one permanent copy kept somewhere in the archives?
Of contributions and expenditures? No.
Mm-mm. 6 years and it's out.
6 years and it's out.
Well, shouldn't there be something done to just from a historical perspective, have a permanent record? Just, I mean, I'm not wanting to take up a corner or anything, but on microfilm or something of a document like that for history?
The historic document or record was this. And as I say, that's been removed from our budget. There is not currently, because of the reductions in the archives requested budget, we have neither the staff nor the funds to microfilm what I would guess to be, well, I don't know, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 pages of C&E reports.
No, but I'm talking about a document like that, where at least the summary. That's just a summary.
To produce the summary would cost us approximately $25,000 less printing costs. It's the time involved in the data entry that's expensive. So that's, in other words, the Ways and Means Committee made a substantive decision and told us not to print this.
No, they haven't, because you still have to do it until this bill passes, isn't that
well,
correct?
Well, that's correct. We have to go to the emergency board, I suppose, and have the funds received.
Well, not if they don't have any money, they can't.
To date, the historical document, Greg, is the book that you published. Uh-huh. The committee, I wasn't on that subcommittee, by the way.
None of us are.
Good, you can explain it to us.
The subcommittee made the recommendation. You stated here that the information is available. However, anyone interested in the information would have to go to the Secretary of State's office and ask to see it.
Or ask for photocopies.
Or for photocopies. Now, those records that you keep, which was initially the information you used to put together the C&E report, are those records also destroyed after 6 years?
That's correct.
And the permanent record then becomes a printed book.
That's destroyed too, isn't it?
if there is a permanent record?
If, no, these books, well, eventually we do run out of them, but by statute we're required to supply a certain number to the state library, any state publication. I forget what it is, I think 20. Additionally, we bind a copy and keep it in our library, which is, of course, open to the public.
Okay. What I'm trying to drive at is the question of the permanent record. Now and to date, you have bound copies of that book in your mm-hmm. permanent record. You're not going to have that anymore.
That's correct.
But you will have records in your files. You purge your files at the end of 6 years and throw everything out.
Mm-hmm. What I do anticipate doing, given staff requirements, this is a personal view. I feel these are of some historic value. In fact, when the Senate Elections Committee considered Senator Roberts' bill on limiting expenditures through the tax credit system, we were asked to provide information back 10 years, and of course we used this. I do anticipate that we will assemble, probably not in this much detail, and not certainly this fancy, some kind of a document which will be an official document of our office, in which you could obtain photocopies of.
Okay, that's what I was going to leave.
But it'll be but a much more thicker form.
So. Some way that right. you could keep a permanent record.
But this is not meant to even be accurate.
That's correct.
Because this doesn't tell anything, and they have been sitting, I personally went into them about 6 years ago where they had left out 5 pages of my opponent, about $10,000 on a $25,000 budget.
That was 1977. That was correct, 1977.
Yeah. And we had some of those. So it really doesn't mean, and we've had many times that this comes. It's never been meant to be an accurate document.
No,
it's you only take them over so much money, and... And it's just shoved together, and it's been... How many copies of that do you have? You print 1,200. How many do you have over there right now?
That I couldn't tell you, but I will tell you that before the election cycle gears up for next year, they'll be gone. They always are.
Yeah, but they'll be gone after the when somebody wants them to see who to contact for donations
for
or something of that nature.
For candidates, Mr. Chairman, are candidates your principal customers for those?
Oh, we list political committees also.
No, I mean your principal customers for the publication.
Oh,
is that who wants
the press, candidates, yeah. political action committees, the state parties.
But a new candidate wants it because he can pick up all the names of people that contribute.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, go ahead.
Chairman, I think it does put things in perspective. I'm concerned about trends in campaign financing, campaign spending, and I really think there should be some record mandated. If Greg just voluntarily does it when he leaves, he can just pick that volume off the shelf and take it with him. And I think that that we need a record somewhere of who did what and when, particularly if we think this process is meaningful and worthwhile, that it be documented. And I say that not just for a future historical thing, but I think it gives the press and others a sense of where things are, and they do not have the time and the staff going to go through every one of those. I've looked
well,
at
they
that
do,
stuff,
John,
that's a mess.
Because this book is not put out till months after the election.
That's what I mean, but it
and
gives
you
us a
have everybody's listed. The day after filing time, they're in there in that office picking
that's right.
all this up on the filing dates, and that's published for everybody. But that's
of key races, but not in aggregate. I mean, they may go through and total up some quick numbers, but
Mr. Chairman,
I just think it's important that there be a permanent record.
Mr. Chairman,
doing away with the book, I didn't understand. I'm not sure. I think what some people are saying is that perhaps before we slide this out, we ought to provide the responsibility of the Secretary of State to at least hold these maybe into some type of 6-year period that they're bound in some way where archives hang on to it, so we have to delve back into it. Because I will tell you this, They had records beyond 6 years recently. And I won't get into it, but because of certain investigations going on, they were able to go back further and see some causal connections and certain activities. And I only point this out to you that I'm not sure in the bill and Rhea that we have provided for that. And I think Greg is right. I think what Senator Thorne and Senator Powell are trying to drive at, I'm not sure this book is anything.
Yeah, it's not
terribly.
It's the record that you.
But I think it's what we might provide as an obligation upon the Secretary of State's office to hold on to a that we could indeed duplicate or could be researched. It might be more laborious, but we could delve into it and look for it. I can tell you, about 2.5 years ago, I found rather curious some documents that we had to do on several housing things. So I just lay that out.
I know I have used these, but I don't use your book because your book really doesn't tell me anything. It's just cut down so much. I go in and get, and I have them for every candidate that run against me along with my own, is to go in and get photocopies of their CNE report because there it tells you things. You only pick up $50 and $100 or $100, which is it?
It depends on whether it's statewide, where it's $100 or $50, if it's for a legislative or other than statewide. The other thing that...
you can go down and see how many $49 checks from the same guy, and you don't even show it up. And you can have 100 of them.
If it's from the same guy, we would add those together and itemize them. But I might point out that the cutoff date for this is the post-election report, so that any supplemental report's not printed in here anyway. If it were, of course...
Oh, that's right, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It is not an extremely valuable tool. Other than, I suppose, for somebody that simply wants to footnote it from the official summary, but it's not an accurate figure by any means.
I feel about us mandating some charge for you to hold on to these at least in one volume form that you could draw.
To prepare one volume?
Yeah. Not of that book, but of the
actual CNEs.
Actual.
To hold them for more than 6 years?
That's a real burden.
The Record Center is full. I think the Senator Ripper, who was on our subcommittee, knows. We are refusing to accept records from any agency, including revenue, because their Ways and Means did not approve the expansion part of our budget. We simply don't have room for them.
Okay. They need $1 million. We don't have one. We've tried to build a building, and the legislature has turned us down twice now. We tried to build a storage building.
Mr. Chairman,
we're out here renting in some little junk... transfer house for our state storage.
I would like
quite
Greg,
a job, but it's not much better.
I would like Greg to consider, and maybe we could hold this till next week. This is a House bill, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I would like to see some way. And you've got to tally those up anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't there be an entry somehow to at least get aggregate figures,
totals
or something in a permanent record? Be kept and maintained by the Secretary of State. At least show trends. I guess it really loses its value if you're not going to keep $100 or more, $50 or more. But it does show trends that I think are important and I think of historical significance. Because I don't know. I just think that we need that kind of trend showing what's happening to us with money and politics. Mm-hmm. I really do.
Then you need a better book than this one because this is just not at all accurate.
We could, Mr. Chairman and Senator Powell, in fact I plan on doing that, but of course I'm not going to be there forever.
That's the point. I think it should be statutory.
One other thing that you might want to consider if you do value this book is on page 2 of the House Amendments, line 40. Delete the word shall and insert may.
Page 2, line 40.
Right. Delete the word shall and insert may, which would allow us to not publish anything of this nature. As you can tell, I was not thrilled doing away with this, even though I have to agree with Senator Ripper. It's certainly not the most useful tool. That would allow the Secretary of State during fat years, if you want to call it that money-wise, to go ahead and produce the document. And with a budget note, which we clearly have now, in fact, we have more than that, to not publish.
Yeah.
Well, what if, yeah, what if you did it every 5 years? Just about the time you're getting ready to demolish.
And go back and do all of them?
No.
No, that would be...
Not publish it. I just meant that you did it, put it in the permanent record in the library or anywhere.
Every 5 years, watch out for that budget request.
Well, they're working with these in aggregate anyway. I mean, this checkbook thing, they have to do a lot of calculating, come up with totals and that sort of thing, I would expect. And they have to, seems like they could record those somehow and keep a historical account of the aggregates per race and in a document that somebody could go through and simply later add it up. I mean, what, you know, it
yeah. To me, the real record you need, John.
Hmm?
I said the real record you need
is what
we ought to have a law against, and that is ever having deficit spending. But when you start, the one you want to look at, if you really want to find out something and look how the boat's patterns go and all the rest of it, is find somebody who has a $60,000 or $70,000 debt. Still in the legislature. I can name two that have the most interesting books that you've ever seen on how they got their debt paid off, and that won't show up in there or anywhere else. And,
does that touch a tone, John?
No, I didn't even raise, I didn't even spend half that much, no, so I'm in good shape.
Oh, I forgot about you.
I watched me start squirming and I don't know.
Well, you're not one of them.
I'm in no trouble, I'll guarantee
you. You're not one of them, John, but we have one here that was unbelievable.
I wish
you wanted to make investigations, you'd go back and take a look at them.
What would be be lost, I suppose, and I don't know what value Mr. Chairman Senator Powell would be. Mere aggregates for all candidates and all PACs really wouldn't tell you very much. Wouldn't tell you how the money crossed.
That's right. It wouldn't give you that kind of information. I think it's sad that we're losing that.
Let's say somebody somebody wanted to do a book like that thing called Who Runs Congress, you know, where they crossed.
After 6 years, it's gone. You can't. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Exactly.
You're eliminating the private sector from coming in and doing that kind of research. You're eliminating historians from.
But a historian couldn't use this book, John.
No. This is not the problem. The problem is the retention cycle
of the real of the whole
real
thing.
Hard
this just doesn't list it. Now, up until 2 years ago, or when we did put the aggregate down, 2 years ago or 4 years ago,
it's been required at least since 1972.
What, the aggregate amount?
Mm-hmm. Or, excuse me,
it hasn't been that long, because that's when they used to all put in the $49, and you could have 100 of them there.
But if any one individual during an accounting period gave you an aggregate exceeding $50, then you had to itemize. But the real change is,
we changed that, but before you didn't, because it was each individual
occurred in 73, Common Cause, and specifically 74, Special Session.
Maybe you could turn these things over to Historical Society or something like that. Before you destroy them, do you offer them to any private collector or library that might want to hold on to them?
We haven't found anybody that wants them.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tender them back to the candidate, but typically they have their own file.
I'll tell you, I did a kind of research. We introduced a kind of reform on the Ethics Commission long before everything hit the fan here. I did some surveys on those, and it's that's tough sledding to try to pinpoint the information you want to draw from. And
sure,
that's a tough darn job.
We're
the real thing is just to go get the copies.
That's right. That's what I did. Develop the data. I was looking
on that. You can see where all of the so-called donated time and everything else is, and you can really start to tell a picture of it. But. Can you think, would you like to go ahead and work on something for some
I'd like to think about it for a week to see if there isn't some way.
Let him come up with something.
I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman, I know what you want.
Well, what I'm wanting, more than anything, I'd like one volume of the best thing you could produced. I know that, may not be possible, but it seems like if in processing of those forms, I guess there's just no way that you have to itemize them close enough that you would actually make another record. But it's sad that we're losing, even though that doesn't include supplemental reports. It does show if a deficit, doesn't it? Wouldn't that show if the person had a deficit for how much?
You see, it's pretty accurate in aggregate. Now, sure, it doesn't show you who contributed $99 to a statewide candidate or $49 to a legislative candidate, but it shows you who the big rollers were in the race. It shows you.
Yeah. It's a valuable historical document.
I think it's much more valuable than a person would simply stop and at first glance give it.
Let me just shoot something out at the committee, Mr. Chairman. What if the Secretary of State were to cease printing this altogether and abolish the six-year, well, we wouldn't have to amend the statute, at least 6 years, change our retention schedule? If I could come back to this committee, say, next week and indicate that it would be possible within present budgetary restraints to microfilm everything.
That'd be perfect.
And
that would make good sense.
Perfect. That'd be much better.
Then we would not.
I'm afraid of the answer
at all.
You're going to get, though.
Well, I'm not sure, because
microfilming isn't that expensive. That's
we do.
Cheap as putting it on a computer.
That, somebody, who was it, told us that tonight that they couldn't.
That was on coupons, and that's because of the size.
Oh, okay.
We have double cases. You know, they microfilm and they put them on two, and they put one in one building and another one in another place so that.
Okay, why don't you check on that microfilm?
That'd be perfect.
That'd be great.
Now, we do have that in the archives budget because that was one of the ways of trying to get.